Hello, sports fans. Hello, Vancouver. You are listening to the flagship station of the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sportsnet 650 in almost beautiful downtown Vancouver. Vancouver beautiful today, by the way. Yesterday, too. Holy smokes. At the Giants game yesterday was I. It was a 4 o'clock start. A pleasure to drive without rain, with the windows down, and even coming home when the game ended last night. Oh, beautiful sunset, driving home, back into downtown Vancouver. Almost makes up for the dreadful winter, doesn't it? You get a day or two like this. Anyway, I'm Brooke Ward. I'm in for Drance and Dodd this week. From noon to 2, the time slot, formerly known as Canuck Central, but now it's Sportsnet Today. When the boys leave, they just take their show. Interesting. Don't trust me with it. Just take their take the name. Take them, but they're gone. They're out of here. Adios, muchacho. It's Sportsnet Today. So, in other words, it's not straight 2 hours of hockey talk. Glad you're with us, though. As we make our way and weave our way through the week, as the Canucks are closing in on finding out playoff opponents, there's a few bouncing around with the Vancouver Canucks. I want to talk about that, too. Possible playoff. If the playoffs started today, it's an old sports talk thing Dan Russell used to do all the time. He'd hit January 1st of a new year. And wherever the Canucks were in the standings, if the playoffs started today, he'd tell you who the Canucks would play. Many times in the month of January, he would say if the playoffs would start today, the Canucks would be grabbing their golf clubs. Because many times the Canucks, they had some good teams back then, though, but they seemed to miss the playoffs a lot. If the playoffs started today for your first place, barely first place, Western Conference leading Vancouver Canucks, they would be playing the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round of the playoffs. I shall stay on this all week because that's what I do. But right now, it is the Canucks, number one in the West, taking on wildcard team number two. If you finish first in your division and second in the West, you get wildcard team number one. Right now, wildcard team number one is the Predators from Nashville. If you are looking at who the Canucks might play in the playoffs at the moment, if they hang on to first place in the West, you're looking at either Los Angeles, who are third in the Pacific now but tied in points with the Golden Knights. So you're in all likelihood, should the Canucks hang on to top spot, you're looking at LA, Nashville, or Vegas in the first round of the playoffs. Almost pick your poison. Like, who would you want of those three teams? Should Edmonton, by the way, catch Vancouver, which I would still say is unlikely, but they're catching up. The Oilers are 8 behind the Canucks with 3 games in hand. You got to win them. But if they win them, they are on the Canucks' heels. So it's not a lock first place in the Pacific for the Canucks. Do not order the pennants yet. But Vancouver should hang on. 3 games in hand for the soaring Oilers, who've won 7 of the last 10 and continue to roll. In fact, if I want to look at Edmonton's schedule, they played 65 games, throw the first 25 out. They've probably won 7 of their last 4-10, this Edmonton team. So they continue, and you bet in Edmonton, they're thinking, we can, not only we can catch the Canucks, we will catch the Canucks. If Edmonton does catch Vancouver, now you're looking at the Canucks being 2nd in the Pacific, 2nd place 3rd, and then you're looking at the Kings or the Golden Knights again for Vancouver. So basically, at this point, in all likelihood, one of these three teams, Kings, Predators, or Vegas, who the Canucks will match up with in the first round, tough matchups. St. Louis and Minnesota, they're on the outside. They can still sneak in, but they're on the outside looking in. St. Louis is 4 points behind Vegas. Minnesota's 5 back. There's games to play. But the Blues and the Wild still have a chance to sneak into a playoff spot. It would mean the collapse of Vegas, the Kings, and or the Preds, though. So who would you want? Do you want the Kings? Do you want the Preds? Do you want the Golden Knights? If you had to pick, who do you want to avoid? Or pick your poison, who do you want of those three teams in the first round of the playoffs? if it comes down to that for the Vancouver Canucks. You can hit me anytime at the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Dunbar Lumber, you know what? They have three stores to serve you. They're in Ladner on Bridge Street, the Dunbar Lumber Express. If you're in a hurry, go to the Express. I think it's a drive-through, Ladner Center. It's the Express. You just drive through. I need a piece of lumber. And while you wait, you just, what size do you need? Okay. Cut that up for you right out the drive-through. That's not a bad idea, actually. Anyway, the Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center. Like, so, you know, you don't need a lot of stuff sometimes. It should be a drive-through. I need a few bolts. I need a few screws. I need an 8x10 piece of 2x4. Just at the drive-thru. Think about it. And the flagship station, no drive-thru, Arbutus Street in Vancouver. Online, you can catch them too at dunbarlumber.com. Our text message inbox. Casey and the Sunshine Band, I think they first wanted to coin the phrase, keep it coming, love. I need your input. I'm flying solo here. Although Elan Chark's around, Victor Gauthier is around, Dominic Schermati. There's three guys in behind the scenes. Usually there's two guys sitting here and one guy producing. Today it's like me flying solo. There's three guys in the background in case there's problems. That tells you the tale of the tape right now. We'll have Brooke on, but we need three safety nets instead of one. Anyway, 650, 650 is the text line. I also threaten in a couple of minutes. I may do it early. I'll probably wait for the bottom of the hour. Bottom of the hour, I'm going to open phone lines up. Yes, I dare. And see if there's anybody out there. Last time I was on, flying solo as well, a few months ago, opened up the phone lines and surprisingly got a few calls. Old school phone lines got a few calls. So the over-under for phone calls today, what are you thinking you got? Like, I'm like I want to say five over-under, but now I want to go lower now. Elan, I'm thinking three calls, the over-under, or would you go over like up to five in Vegas?
I'm optimistic. I think the Canucks fans want their voice on the air
really?
Today.
You're thinking five?
I'm thinking over five.
Really? I'm going to go three. You're saying five. So if I'm saying three calls over-under, you're in Vegas, you're voting over.
Over 4.5.
Over 4.5. Okay. And I should do that. I should do 3.5 or 2.5, but I like to go three. I like to break even. There's nothing wrong with a tie. Not everything has to go to a shootout or 3-on-3 overtime. I think it'd be 4.5 in Vegas. I'll take the 4. Anyway, your thoughts on what the Canucks are up to. Buffalo here, Tatanka, tomorrow night to take on your Vancouver Canucks. And the Canucks need a win. Got to put some wins together right now. We come to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec is Canada's favorite orthotics provider. They're powered by thousands of 5-star Google reviews. If you have sore feet, what are you waiting for? Kintec Orthotics. Should have a drive-through there. You just drive through Kintec. It's like, what? I need a, give me some nines. Okay, here you go. And when we get to our hotline, and you could be on it as a caller at the bottom of the hour, hotline brought to you by Dispatch Plumbing, Health, and Air Conditioning. The first call, it's the only call. Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And we're getting near air conditioning season, believe it or not. It's only March, but anyway, in the inbox right now, Curtis Oland sent this in. If you sign your text, I'll read them. But you don't have to. Like, what do I care? I know there's lots of people say, sign your text. I also often wonder why. Do I need you to sign your text? Is it going to spoil the text? You don't have to sign your text, but if you want to, you can sign your text. And Curtis Oland gets a name drop for that. Not only do the Oilers have three games in hand, but the Canucks still have two games against them head-to-head. Curtis likes the matchup of Nashville, wants to avoid Vegas, and does not think the Canucks would match up against them either. I would like to avoid Vegas right now. And that team has kind of been locked in the standings and matching up against Vancouver for over a week now. They've just been hovering right in that wild card number two hole. I don't really know if I'd want Nashville. I would take them, again, if I had to pick an order for you, I would take Nashville over Vegas. Would I take Nashville over the LA Kings? If I was the Canucks, I'd rather fly into LA than fly into Nashville. I'll have to think more about it. Would you want L.A. or Nashville? We see a lot of L.A. I'd probably take L.A. Something about the Preds. Chef Swagger, Hell's Kitchen. Good afternoon, Brooke. There's your text. See, it's signed. You got the name drop. A quick good afternoon, Brooke. Thanks for that, for Chef. I don't think Chef used to be a Brooke fan. I don't know if you are now, but it seems to me a while back Chef was not a Brooke fan. He'd come around, though. I think he was asking cooking tips one day, and Chef was in there saying, season your steak as you cook. So I knew Chef. Chef always sounds like an old guy to me. I think Chef's a young guy. But when he first started texting me, I thought, uh-oh, old and bitter, does not like Brooke. Knows me well. But anyway, Chef, I think Chef was the one to say, so try that tonight. When you get the barbecue going, season your meat as you cook it. Apparently, it brings out the flavor. Thanks, Chef. More cooking tips coming up. Josh from Nanaimo. Very nice of you. Just say it's good to hear you, Brooke. Thanks, man. You might not be saying that in about an hour and a half. But right now, thank you for that. Coming up on the program, 1:30 this afternoon, Randeep Janda, the pride of Sportsnet. He is at Canucks, or was at Canucks practice today. We'll find out what shook down there. Randeep later in the program. Also some Blue Jays talk for you after 1 o'clock today. Ben Nicholson-Smith, Blue Jay reporter, to join us. I want to ask about Joey Votto, by the way, first swing of the bat with the Jays, home run. And then sometime after that, he stepped on a bat that was lying on the ground in the dugout. By the way, lesson for you kids out there, put your bats back. He slipped on a bat and he turned his ankle. Said he doesn't think it's serious, but he's fighting an uphill battle to make this team anyway. If you check the stats over the years, they've not trended in the right direction for Votto as he's gotten older. But he hits a bomb. And then gets himself back in the dugout, and there's a bat lying on the ground, and he stepped on the bat, and he turned his ankle. Lesson for all you kids out there. And again, March is coming up. I'm so into the weather now. And, all the fun things of summer. This time of year, every year, it's like I am never going to be indoors ever. You won't find me indoors for the next 6 months. Just whatever it is. But for you young kids out there about to pick up your baseball gloves again and your beer leaguers, you don't leave your bats lying around. A lot of the beer leaguers don't have a dugout anyway. But anyway, I want to ask about what's going on with Votto. How good will the Jays be this year? Let's talk about trying to keep Guerrero happy. Just an arbitration deal worth almost $20 million a season for a couple of years, but want to keep Vladdy happy. I'm going to go check his stats too. Vladdy has not ruled the world in baseball over the last couple of seasons or so that it looked like he was going to. I mean, terrific player, but. And the AL East, you know the tale of the AL East. Everyone except Boston. It's been a long time since we said that, by the way. Boston just seems like they're not trying to win right now. They're not trying to lose, but they're not trying to win. And that's different from the Red Sox. Just not dipping into free agency, not really doing anything, just kind of coasting right now. They used to, it was them and the Yankees all the time. Spend more money, spend more money, spend more money. DS says in the inbox, I stepped on a bat this morning as well. I don't know if he's talking about a baseball bat, but he stepped on it. Maybe that was it. Maybe the Votto thing wasn't a baseball bat because he never clarified. I stepped on a bat in the dugout. I'm going on like Jim Rome now. I stepped on a bat in the dugout this morning. And A, it was squishy, and B, I turned my ankle. Maybe it was not a baseball bat. I'll have to look deeper into that. I'll ask Ben Nicholson-Smith that when he comes on at 1 o'clock. What kind of a bat was it? It was a vampire bat. In the inbox, Dunbar Lumber. Reduced goals against by 10 to 15 per year. Rush the opposition point men like no other or like other teams do to us. Magic? No, it's common sense. Talking, I assume, about the Canucks trying to cut the goals against down and not give the point men so much room on the PK. Well, the Canucks have kind of cut the goals against down. They got Thatcher Demko. And since Demko left, it's not like Dismiss getting aired out. Assuming that's what you're talking about, my friend. But are the Canucks giving other teams too much room on the power play? I haven't really noticed that. But if I'm an opponent and I'm looking at playoff matchups, and that's when things get really interesting. You start looking at playoff matchups, and now how do we, if you're the opponent, how do we defend Hughes? How do we defend Hronek? Do we pressure Hughes? A guy I'd be afraid to pressure, by the way. He's just magic with the puck, obviously. If I pressure him, because I've seen guys try to pressure him, he just spins away. Worth the price of admission alone, especially live to watch Hughes. Like on television, you see him, and it's just like he's incredible. But live at the rink, when you can watch a player like Hughes, when he doesn't have the puck, how he handles himself, how he skates, how the body language, how he turns, how he knows where the puck is going, how players know where to give it to him. Anticipation. Knowing what that player is going to do that's pressuring you. That's what separates the men from the boys. Knowing what the guy, in all likelihood, who is coming at you is going to do. Reading that. That's what all the greats do. That's why they're great. That's what separates them from the pack. Hughes is one of those guys. You're going to come at me and pressure me? I am reading you. I kind of know. Analytics say you're going to go left. So I'm prepping to go right. And as soon as you bite, like going in one-on-one on a goaltender. If I get him to bite, I'm going the other way. Hughes is elite, though. Guy's coming at him, knows how to get away from him and reads the play, knows where their goaltenders are doing that as well. When you come, goaltenders have to know where everybody is on the ice at all times and know the odds of the puck carrier. What are the odds he's going to pass it? Who's he going to pass it to? If he does, is that guy in all likelihood going to shoot, or is he going to come back to him because of where the guy is situated on the ice? You can tell if it's the give and go. That's what separates great goaltenders from good goaltenders. It happens with the players, too. Gretzky used to know where the puck was going if he didn't have it. In all likelihood, that guy's going to, I don't even think they wrote it up. He just knows he's probably going to go there. Gretzky'd go there. When the opponent had the puck, Gretzky'd go there. He's probably going to go over there. Those are the great players, and that separates the elite from the rest of the pack. Hughes has that skill. In the playoffs, now you're looking at a potential 7-game series. Teams really hone in. I mean, game 43, are they concerned that much about 43? They are. But are they really honing in and kind of trying to come up with a full strategy to pressure Hughes to see if it works? Not so much in the regular season. Yeah, full on. All the hits all the time when you get to the playoffs. Very interested to see how teams are going to try and defend the Hughes factor with the Vancouver Canucks. If I'm them, never mind the offensive zone, but when the Canucks are in the defensive zone, there's going to be a lot of body contact. I got to see if I can soften these guys up. That's why over a 7-game series, if I'm playing Vegas, if I'm playing these grinding big teams, if I'm playing a physical team, they're going to tee off on Hughes. They're going to tee off on Pettersson if you can catch these guys. Not much you can do to get JT Miller off his game or a Besser as well. But Pettersson, well, I've pound him enough and soften him up, I can take him out of the game. But the key guy is Hughes. Same thing. Can be a lot of body contact. And then these guys who save for the bubble that you have not seen in the playoffs, you will really learn a lot about Hughes and Pettersson, as an example, and how much punishment they can take. And if teams cannot get to them physically, they have a problem. In the inbox, chess should be taught to young prospects so they can start thinking 50 steps ahead. That's true. You're supposed to be thinking ahead in chess. That's the idea. Check and checkmate. Jeff Swagger's back. Thank you, buddy. You haven't told me, though, would you season your steak while you cook it? That's what I want to know, because guess what's on the barbecue tonight? Jeff says, I used to tease you and Shane Fox when we were on 1040, so he's honest. But have nothing but love for you, Brooke. Thanks, Jeff. Chef Swagger. Dollywell calls him Chief Swagger, I think, which is very catchy. But the important thing for everybody tonight, do you season your meat while you cook it? Come on. Where is Drance? Unsigned. I know. I think that's from Dodd. Where is Drance from Jamie Dodd? If we win one round this year, I'll be happy because this year was so unexpected in the inbox. The playoffs were not necessarily unexpected, but where they've ended up in the standings is unexpected to everybody, including the Canucks. Rutherford before the season, got to stay extremely healthy, can't have key injuries, save for Demko. And, you know, Soucy was a loss, but they made up for it. But save for Demko here late in the year, Canucks have not had a key injury this season, long term. You could say Joshua, but is it a key injury? You know what I mean. The key guys, the total difference makers. Canucks have avoided that, and Rutherford said everything has to go right, and everything's gone more than right. Then he added Zadorov as the season continued, and that helped. And Lindholm has won faceoffs, and that's about it. But everything went right, but even if I want to go back to the front of the year, you added, I'll say Casey DeSmith, because it was late in the, if I remember correctly, it was late in the preseason when they added Smith, so it might have been earlier, regardless. He has been terrific for Vancouver, so that made a huge difference. That's 10 or 15 points I wasn't expecting to get from a backup goaltender. Take those away from the standings, and now you've got a team fighting to make the playoffs. So DeSmith was huge. Lafferty added a very good asset to Vancouver. He's quietly going about his business these days. Zadorov's been a really good fit for Vancouver. Not outstanding, but a really good fit for the Canucks, and he's made a difference. And the Lindholm deal, for the price they paid right now, even if it meant getting someone to take Kuzmenko's $5 million off the payroll, you've added another unrestricted free agent. You gave away more high draft picks, and he hasn't done anything really, but he wins a lot of draws. I'm just expecting more from him. Speaking of the playoffs, by the way, one of the interesting things I always find out of the playoffs is who elevates their game. Because it is a different beast. And some players, Ella and winning teams have more than some. Winning teams have a lot of players who elevate their game. If you can't match that elevation, you're usually in trouble. Who on the Canucks are the guys who will elevate their game once they get into a series against Los Angeles, Nashville, Vegas? Like JT Miller right now, he'd be a playoff guy to me. How can he if he can elevate his game more than it's already elevated, holy smokes. Pettersson, who in the bubble cranked up his game, can he do it in a non-bubble? Hughes, how much better can he get? Joshua, I can see elevating his game in the playoffs. And the Blugers. And even the Lafferty's and some of these other guys. But can I see right now, and the Canucks need this to happen, Lindholm, can he elevate his game? He's going to have to, because if this is all the Canucks got for him, that's a bust of a trade for now and in the future. But can he elevate his game? Is he that type of player? If he is, and suddenly his game takes a big step in the playoffs, then you can look back, and if he helps the Canucks win the round or play well, then you can go, okay, well, it was worth it. But maybe he's one of those guys. But right now, regular season Canuck, he's not doing a lot. And they paid a lot for him. Keep him coming, love, in the Dunbar Lumber text line inbox. 650-650. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to do it. We're going to open the phone lines up. We've got a lot of texting, but if you want to join me on the phone board, I'd love to have it. Old school. And the number to call is 604-280-0650. 604, that'd be the area code, 280-0650 is the number to call. And we're going to open phone lines up maybe in the break. You want to grab an early one, but certainly on the other side. You can be part of the Dispatch Lumber Heating and Air Conditioning Hotline. I am Brooke Ward. There's no Drance. There's no Dodd. They are off this week. They took their show with them. It's not Canuck Central. It's Sportsnet Today. That's it. That's in their contract. If we leave, we take the show name with us. I don't blame them. Great show. Stay with us. More to come in a moment. This is Sportsnet Today. This, the flagship station of the mighty, vast, coast-to-coast Sportsnet Radio Network. This is Sportsnet 650. Back on the big show here. Brooke Ward in for Drance and Dodd today. Canuck Talk, and that's what I've been doing. Brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online, DLEAMC.com. Gleamuck.com. DLEAMC. Of course, your mileage may vary on that. To the phone board in just a moment. Did want to mention, I was looking over at the Central Division. Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, 91 points each. Winnipeg on top. They won again yesterday. And Toffoli, a couple more goals for Toffoli. This guy just loves to play for new teams. I think Tyler Toffoli's played for, is it five teams in 6 years, something like that? He just loves a new area code. Or maybe he just doesn't like the people he meets at the previous city he's in. It's like, yeah, okay, send me somewhere else. Winnipeg, 91 points. Colorado, Dallas, each with 91. 38 regulation wins for the Jets, so they're in top spot. Dallas, 30 regulation wins. Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, all with 91. The Stars have 8 overtime wins this year and 3 shootout wins. Can be misleading. There's Dallas in a tie for first place. And you can look and go, wow, what a season. Yeah, but 11 of their wins have come in overtime or a shootout, which means those are overtimes and shootouts. They're not playing in the playoffs, certainly not 3-on-3. And so you don't really know what you have with Dallas because they keep their tight games, but you keep winning in overtime in a shootout, only 30 regulation outright wins. Very interesting, though. I can't believe they have that many points. 22 of their points have come in overtime or a shootout. Anyway, the phone number to call, the over-under's 3 in Vegas. The over-under's 3. 3 calls in the day. The phone number is 604-280-0650. Elan already told me moments ago he would put money on the over. He thinks it's going to be over 3 if he was in Vegas right now. And I believe they are taking odds in Vegas. They're taking money right now in Vegas. So you can jump on that, too. You probably have an app. Anyway, let's hit the phone board. Breaking the shutout, B. Hello, B. Welcome to the big show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ward. Awesome to hear you, man. Great, great, great. Just want to quickly touch on this Lindholm, and I agree with everything you've said, but the only thing I'm going to question a little bit is this talk about how much they gave up for him, and I'm going to lean towards more that it was quantity over quality. Kuzmenko had a good year, but I have a feeling his career is going to be the type of career where he's going to end up looking at the end of it and you're going to say, oh yeah, that guy played for like 5-6 teams. Busquets didn't seem like he wanted to sign here because of numbers game, didn't want to sign. The other two prospects are just that, whatever, prospects. So with the first round pick to dump a contract, can kind of live with that. Lindholm, I think with this management group, with all they've done after 10 years of crap, looking back, if we can say Lindholm is kind of like one of their kind of deals that didn't work out, I'm kind of going to let it slide. And the other thing I was going to say is, like, after what we've been through here in Vancouver, I'm okay if they kind of use this year to kind of, like, really get out of some contracts, really kind of use it to kind of slowly see what they got, build the team they want, and then kind of go into this window of, like, 3-4 years, maybe 5, where they're really going to push and go, I think, for a cup. People that say them just are just going to lose in the first round, I knew it. Like, for crying out loud, have we been watching the last 10 years? I think they've got a pretty good core here. I think finally we've got, like, a pretty decent management group. They're all pulling in the same direction. So I'm just kind of thinking, you know, what happens in the playoffs. I'll be disappointed if they lose in the first round. But I'm not going to, like, go crazy over it. Because, like I said, I think finally, the direction is going in properly, And I kind of dig what these guys are doing. And I think the window wasn't really supposed to be open this year.
Well, you enjoy the moment, certainly, because I don't know what happens in a couple of years. But the only two mistakes, basically, the second one, Jerry, like Kuzmenko's contract, obviously, because he didn't fit in with Tocchet. He had a guy who had 39 last year, but still, his contract or his style of play doesn't fit in with the head coach. So, okay, that was one mistake, but then they moved that mistake for Lindholm, which could be the second mistake, but you got rid of one of them. And the reason I say that is because he's a UFA and there is a first-round pick and a fourth round to Calgary too, but they're still draft picks. The Hronek deal for an RFA was a first and a second. So I'm mortgaging a lot of first-round picks here for instant success, even more so than they thought they were going to have this year be. But I worry two years from now when you're paying $5 million for OEL and these first-round draft picks you don't have anymore, and Lindholm's gone, and Hronek could be gone because you can't afford them. So your future...
Do you think these moves were made with them to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Not at all, just to get into the playoffs.
No, exactly. If they sign Hronek for a decent deal... you can have those first round picks or whatever. Because, I mean, throwing another D like Hronek in the lineup to me is a win, whether it's a first round pick or whatever. If they sign him to a reasonable deal, I'm happy with that deal for sure.
What if he Lindholm, walks? What if he walks, though? Okay, let's just say play devil's advocate. Zadorov walks. Okay. That was a third and a fifth, but there's still picks. Hronek leaves after a year. Lindholm's gone. And for those guys, they're all gone now, 2 years from now. Let's just say you gave two first-round picks, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. And those guys are gone in 2 years. And $5 million now you owe on OEL's long-term deal. And I know the cap might go up, but you're gonna you got other guys to pay. I think Besser may be gone because they're going to need to get cap room. But you got to pay some guys again, and that's going to eat up that extra cap room. So I think you could fall back a little bit.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. No, I totally hear what you're saying. I totally dig what you're saying. I'm saying with this management group and from the deals they've done, I know what you're saying about draft picks and stuff like this, but I'll be honest, draft picks to me are kind of like...
It's a crapshoot. Yeah, you don't know what you're getting. Outside of the top 10, you don't know what you're getting.
Todd Polson is a third liner. Jake Virtanen didn't work out. Ole Ulevi didn't work out. So draft picks, let's be honest, like we just throw around, we got rid of a draft pick. You get a draft pick, you wait in 3 years for him to show up. What if he doesn't?
Yeah. Well, they needed to win now, B2, and I got a run button, my brother.
I appreciate it.
They needed to do something now, though, to make sure they held on to their crowd and their fans. So they did need to do something now. And they've surprised themselves at how well they have done. They're obviously on record with that. I just look, 2 years. This is great now, man. It's certainly a lot better than being 30th. But a couple years from now, people like me will also look ahead. That's why I say enjoy the moment. Because I don't know in a couple years if these deals will come back to haunt them or not. So enjoy the moment. Because you could be right back to the middle of the pack again in a couple of years. And there's not a ton of prospects down. I mean, they've talked about building up their prospect pool, but there's not a ton of prospects in Abbey. You know, there's some guys out there. And you do have a couple of coming, so they're praying that Lekkerimäki... Here's the big thing with Vancouver. Lekkerimäki has to pan out. Wielander has to pan out. If those two guys are here within a couple of years and they're on low salaries, then they pan out, then that... This bodes well for the future 2 years round for Vancouver and makes up for some of these draft picks. If they don't, and they're just like average players here or good quality players here, the Canucks will be back in the middle of the pack again, and people will say, see, all those draft picks they traded away. So I know what you're saying. It doesn't mean every draft pick's going to pan out, but I look a couple years down the road as well. In the meantime, they needed to win back their audience and their crowd right now and get back on the hockey map, and that's what this team has done. Wally, if you hung on for me, pal. Thanks, I appreciate it.
I did.
Wally World Dead.
I was listening earlier. You were talking about, how much of this is the responsibility of the coaches. And I got a couple of points. I mean, in my mind, there's two types of coaches. One that gets behind the guys and pushes, and the next guy gets behind the team and has them pull. And, I mean, that's not black and white. You know, different guys react to different things. But with some of these guys, they just don't seem to want to pull. And the biggest one in my mind, I had to sit 20 feet away from him and watch Pettersson. I mean, his mind is someplace else. I have no idea what's going on with him whatsoever. He's got no interest in fighting for pucks. He's got no interest in anything. And so I thought, well, maybe he's injured. But then near the end of that game, you know, he's going down the right wing at like 40 miles an hour. So it's not an injury. It's mental. And in my mind, Tocchet should have simply sat him down for a period and send a message to the guy. I mean, he would do that with Bud Golson or whoever else that wasn't Pettersson. He needs to do it with Pettersson and make the guy accountable. It's simple as that.
Very interesting.
Pettersson got the puck right at the blue line, right point blue line, and there wasn't somebody within 10, 12 feet of him on the ice. Got the puck, he just threw it in. Let somebody else go and chase it. I've got no interest in trying to score a goal here.
Well, interesting that you would say, like he just signed a kajillion-dollar contract, so I can't imagine Tocchet wouldn't have the cojones go, by the way, I'm going to park you. But wouldn't that send a message? Like, I haven't thought he's been that bad, but again, you're sitting 20 feet from him. I'm watching on TV. It's a totally different thing. You have a way better vantage point than I do to watch his body language and what he's doing away from the puck. I only see what's on television. But I
saw him make an effort once.
I just don't find that he is – he's not – he's a point getter, but he's not a game breaker. And he's not a guy that will take you by the scruff of the neck like JT Miller would and say, speaking of push and pull, I am dragging you along with me. And Pettersson is a point getter, but he's not that type of dominant, I refuse to lose player.
Miller's last shift, he gets the puck at the blue line. There's two other Canucks at the blue line not going in to get a pass. And when he looks up at the ceiling, throws the puck into the zone and gets back to the bench. It was left in the game. 1.5 left in the game. And, like, no one on other than Miller, in my mind, or maybe DeSmith, perhaps, is actually trying. And, I mean, you can't use. I have to throw Hughes in there. Hughes, I think, played 50 minutes that game. He was everywhere. but, if you're going to get paid $100 million, you know, stop counting your money and start playing hockey.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it, my friend.
There you go.
Thank you, pal. I they're trying, but some people could put a more of an effort into their game as an example, but they're trying. But some can go the extra mile. Others can't, don't, or won't go the extra mile. That was Kuzmenko, by the way. Pettersson, regular season Pettersson, is a point getter. Point getters get money. He gets paid. He puts up a lot of points. But is he that gamer that, again, refuses to lose and the team will ride? I don't think so. Yet, back to the bubble. In the bubble, he was all world in the bubble. So is he a guy in the playoffs that will take that extra step and now go that extra mile? So I've only seen him once, and it's hard to count the bubble. It happened, but it's hard to count it. So there is something with Pettersson. I need to see him get more involved. And he could be skating like the wind. He could be battling, you know, a wrist injury or a shoulder or something like that. It's not affecting his skating. He's not the greatest skater in the world anyway. North, south, he can get a lot of speed up. And boy, can he turn on a dime. But I don't find him the best skater in the world. But he gets there, and he gets points, and he gets paid for that. But yes, in the playoffs, I need a difference maker more than just a points difference maker. It's not all about the points. Those calls we had, by the way, came to you on the Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning hotline. First call, only call. When I first read this, I thought, does this mean I'm just supposed to tag the first call and only the first call with this Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning hotline? Then I realized, no, that's part of the motto. First call, the only call. Okay, I'll only do it once. No, no, that's not the way it works. Anyway, appreciate that. We have a line open for you at 604-280-0650. The over-under is 3, and we're sitting on 2 right now. And I was thinking I was going to take the under. Elant took the over confidently as well. So we're still playing in Vegas. Still time to get your bets in. Oh, I don't really want to go down Lindbergh Road. Lindholm, rather, Road. But I have to. How do you not? Whatever the Canucks were expecting from him, I don't think they're getting it. He scored 4 goals. He's had 2 two-goal hockey games. First game he played against Carolina, he scored 2 goals. 5-6 games later, he had 2 goals. Since then, he's had 2 assists. Wow. 2, 4, 6, 8. This is live. 10, 12, 13. 2 assists in 13 games for Lindholm. And some might say, he's on the third line. Well, he's the third line center. And does he deserve to be higher than that? I mean, he's just like, this was a guy as well that after the Canucks acquired him, by the way, he's an excellent hockey player. I don't dislike Lindholm. It's just that is this a slump, a change of address situation where you feel pressure because you got traded to a new team? Is he just lost? Is he not fitting in the system? Is it his role on the third line? Even by accident, you're on the third line, though, you should pop in a couple points. He's getting power play time. I'm just looking up the stats now. Has he had any power play points with Vancouver? Yes. First game he played against Carolina, both his goals were on the power play. He's not had a power play point since then. He's not eating up tons of power play time, mind you. But it's just he's had 1 assist this month. It's just unbelievable, really. Last game out, his ice time fell down to 13 minutes. And usually, yeah, he's 14, 15, 15, 7. When he first got here, he's playing 17, 19 minutes. So there's where he's playing 17, 18, 20 minutes. Now his ice time has dwindled down from 18 minutes against Colorado to 13 minutes and 54 seconds against Washington. So he's gone from a 20-minute guy to a 14-minute guy, and that's about right. That's probably where he should be. So need more out of him, like a lot more. I don't care if you're playing the fourth line. You're Lindholm. Jay from Poco. Jay, thanks for you've met the over-under, Jay. Go ahead. You're on the big show.
It's my pleasure, Brooke. Good to hear you.
Thank you, pal.
I had two quick comments. One on Lindholm. When they first started talking about the trade deadline, he was the number one target, and we got him.
Yep.
And then on the Pettersson side, when I was listening to Wally, that was kind of interesting. What I noticed with Pettersson lately is every time he goes to take a wrist shot, he's been fanning on it, or a pass. He fans on it. I'm not sure what that is, but I've noticed it at least 3 or 4 times in the last maybe, say, 4 games.
I'll look closely at that tomorrow. Lindholm, you've touched on it, but what are your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, he hasn't scored much, but he's doing the little things, as they say. So maybe the scoring will come. I don't know. But his defensive ability and his face-off wins,
yeah,
could really help in the playoffs.
I hope so. Thanks for your call, man. I'm tight on time right now, but I very much appreciate it. His plus-minus isn't bad. He's even for this month. He's got a few negative twos, you know, 2 under par, 1 under pars last month as well, but it's not too bad. I just remember when he was acquired, to finish a thought I started before and forgot, the coach said when he was acquired that, well, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is pretty close. I told the guys, Rutherford, Alvin, if they want me to take a run at this, I'm going to need player like Lindholm, which was very interesting because if they want me to take a run at this, the position we are, we think we have a shot to actually win the cup. We're not just making the playoffs now, but if you want me to take a run at this, I'm going to need a player like Lindholm. So they went out and gave Kuzmenko and a first and a fourth and a couple of prospects for a guy that they obviously felt can help them take a run at it. Tells me where the Canucks' headspace was. So far he has not helped them take a run at it, but that was the plan. Take a run at it. We are trying. Well, we're here. And if you're if you want me to take a run at it, I'm going to need a guy like Lindholm as an example. Although he didn't mention Lindholm by name when he said, if you want me to take a run at it, I'm going to need a guy like that. Otherwise, it tells you to talk it, and the Canucks are going, well, we're building for the future. We're not expecting to take a run at it this year. So why mortgage more of the future? Ultimately, that's what they've done, to take a run at it. And they did move Kuzmenko, but ultimately first and fourth round picks and prospects, they add up. Damian, you've taken us to the over in Vegas. There's a lot of winners out there. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, a couple weeks back, a buddy of mine and myself went down to Seattle to see the Canucks play. And, man, they were playing soft, really soft. Hardly any body checking. My kid's old midget team body checked harder than those guys. There's three players playing hard that night. It was Garland, Miller, and then Demko. And I don't know. I can't see if they play like that in the playoffs. They're not going to go far. That's all I got to say.
That was a 5-2 loss, I think, in Seattle, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just no effort other than the three players I mentioned. And it was disappointing. You know, we went down there and excited to see the team play, and it just, I don't know what's going on there. Just lack of effort.
Well, it's thanks for your call, pal. It's
thanks.
They're in a transitional stage right now, late in the year. Been leading the league, if not for most of the year, leading the league, as well as running away with the Pacific. Now the Oilers still have something to say about that. 2 games left to play against Vancouver and 3 games in hand. 8 points behind. Canucks need some wins. Edmonton's like won 7 of 10. The Canucks have won 5 of 10. So, Buffalo tomorrow would be a real good idea if you were the Canucks. Try and get a win there. Thank you so much for your – we beat the over. I try and do this every day, by the way. We beat the beat my over. Actually, we haven't. I had an over 3. Elan had 5. 4.5, he actually said, and we hit 4. So in Brooks, Vegas, we're paying out right now. In Elan's Vegas, there's an hour to go. Might open the phone lines up again. Have a chance to get his over. He's more optimistic than I am. Randeep Janda to join us at 1:30. Ben Nicholson-Smith. We've got some Blue Jay talk coming up in just a moment. We have reached halftime of the big show today, and more in the Dunbar Lumber text line inbox, 2650-650. That thing is buzzing. So we appreciate that. Keep them coming. And we'll dive in there momentarily as too. I'm Brooke Ward. Dodd Drance off this week. I'm here from noon to 2, Monday through Friday. Warn a friend. This is Sportsnet 650. Welcome back. Hour 2, second half kickoff here. Sportsnet today. Brooke Ward with you. Dodd and Drance missing in action this week. So is Canucks Central. Took it with them. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk Canucks, though. Randeep Janda going to join us. Fine broadcaster at Canucks practice today. The boys of summer continue to do it. It always feels great when they're back at it. Ben Nicholson-Smith is with us, our fine Blue Jays reporter joining us. Hello, Ben Nicholson-Smith. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm swell, my friend. Sunny in Vancouver today. Everything's cool. The world's good again after 6 months of rain. So you missed that. You'd be happy, man. So wherever you are.
Glad to hear it.
Blue Jays, what do you think of what you've seen so far from these guys? And suddenly, what, we're within 2 weeks or so of the start of the regular season?
Yeah, it's really creeping up. I mean, next week is when the Blue Jays will get started. So it's almost here. And yeah, I was in spring training for a couple weeks, just got back a few days ago to Toronto. And I really thought the team looked pretty good, especially on the offensive side, which is kind of funny because we all know they had the struggles last year when it came to scoring runs. But Offensively, they look pretty good. To me, the bigger questions are on the pitching side. I'm not totally convinced that their rotation is going to be as strong as it needs to be. So it's a team that has some promise, and, man, do they ever have a lot of pressure on them too.
Offensively, who are you relying on this year?
I think, as always, it's Vladdy and Bo at the heart of things. George Springer probably hitting leadoff, at least to start the year. He's a guy who's going to be really important for them. I think Justin Turner, you know, brought in to be, in all likelihood, the cleanup hitter. That's a really important player. Dalton Varsho could be a big bounce-back player for them. Of course, Alejandro Kirk. And, you know, we all know they brought in Joey Votto, right? So, you know, I don't think anyone's going to say they're relying on Joey Votto at age 40. But, you know, he's someone who definitely has the track record. And based on what we've seen in the last week or so, his swing looks pretty good. So that's a good place to start.
On the Votto front, he stepped on a bat the other day. I assume it's a baseball bat.
I am making the same assumption. I think that is a safe assumption. And it sounds like they're not too concerned. I think we'll probably see him back in there before too long. And, you know, at that point, he can resume getting those reps, which will be really important for him.
Well, we've heard a lot of strange sports injuries before. You know, I was carrying my child up the stairs or whatever, and this happened or that happened, or I was reaching for something. That'd be a good one for Votto. I stepped on a live bat. And when I jumped off, I twisted my ankle. So I'm going to go with that one.
There we go. Yeah, hopefully he recovers relatively soon either way.
It's sexier my way. Can he still? I mean, statistically, his numbers have tailed off over the years. It happens to everybody, too, as you get older. Is there really anything left there, do you think?
You know, I think there could be. And look, no one's saying that he's going to go out there and play 150 games and hit 30 homers again. I mean, that's like, no one is predicting that. But could he go out there for the month of April and post at 830 OPS and hit 3 home runs? Like, I think he could. And then, you know, you roll with it in May and you roll with it in June. And if you release him in August, you release him in August. You know, no, again, like, the expectations are so low here that you're not beholden to keeping him on the roster. You certainly don't need to play him in the field. It's more, can he swing it? And by homering off Zach Wheeler on the first pitch that he saw in a spring game just the other day, I mean, that's an indication that he can definitely still swing it.
And he said, I have, you know, everybody does, but I've got pop left in the bat, basically, a few more hits left in me. You know, if nothing else, even if he's a, you know, whatever, a bench warmer, he'd be pretty good on the bench. I mean, you get an older guy, he's Canadian, et cetera, et cetera. You get an older guy, maybe a stabilizing influence on that bench, too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. He's someone who thinks a lot about hitting. I mean, even in the domain of major league hitters, you will not find a lot of guys who think about the art or craft of hitting as much as Joey Votto does. It's his, you know, passion, really, even beyond this being a career for him and how he makes his living. So, you know, that can help other players, but ultimately, you know, he's got to produce. He has to produce. He cannot be someone who is purely there because of sentimental value. He has to produce on the field. And, you know, based on what I saw when I was down there, I thought his swing looked really comfortable. He says he's really healthy, feeling good, had a full off season of workouts, which he did not have last year. So that could be a difference. And I think there could be something left, and I think it's definitely worth a shot.
Ben, am I wrong for wanting more out of George Springer?
No. Yeah, not at all. I mean, this guy's on a $150 million contract, right? And this is the biggest contract in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays. So anytime you're talking about a deal of that scale, there should be pressure that comes with it. And just as there should be for Kevin Gausman or for Jose Berríos or any of the players who have signed $100 million deals, but Berríos and Gausman are producing at the level you would expect for players with those contracts, if not higher. And with Springer, he's producing at a lower level. He has not been that impact franchise player. He's been good. He's been productive. He's helped the team, but they were looking for someone who would really help this team and who would be a core part of everything the Blue Jays tried to accomplish. And we're 3 years in. He's still got 3 years to go. This would be a great year for him to go out there and hit 30 home runs for the first time as a Blue Jay. And I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but it would be really helpful for this team if they could get more out of Springer.
Well, I was, even in the playoff run last year, when it got to be late in the year, I was thinking, you know, here's where I want his clubhouse presence to make a difference. Speaking of Joey Votto, kind of same thing. I thought I really need Springer, who's not a 300 hitter anyway, but I need him to really be that playoff experience guy, settle everybody down late in the year, now get that look on your face and the drive, and I just didn't see it from him.
Right. I mean, yeah, end of the day, this is a guy who was a World Series MVP. He won with Houston. You want him to bring that same drive, as you're saying, to Toronto, and you want him to help fuel this and help push this forward. And look, it's hard to quantify those things. It's hard to know exactly how much that's happened behind the scenes. So you kind of look at the numbers themselves. And again, the numbers have been good, but they definitely haven't been great. And anytime you're a $150 million player, I think any amount of criticism that you face is fair. You know, we're talking between the lines here. We're just saying that the production hasn't been great. It's been more solid than it has been great. And so that's something that could swing this season to some extent for the Jays.
Talking Blue Jays, Ben Nicholson-Smith joining us here, Sportsnet 650. Where does Justin Turner fit in on this team?
Well, I see him as the regular DH and cleanup hitter. Against some right-handed pitching, I could see him playing the field, whether that's first base, third base. He's taking ground balls at second base too. And that would allow the DH spot to open up. So again, against a tough right-hander, then you put a lefty in, maybe that's Vogelbach, maybe that's Joey Votto. And then you have a deeper lineup on those days. And you're probably sacrificing a little bit defensively because, you know, Turner's 39 years old. He's past his prime defensively, but he's competent at those positions, and he's not going to embarrass himself. He's just probably not going to make the spectacular plays that you might get from a Matt Chapman or an Isaiah Kiner-Falefa or even a Santiago Estevan.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about how old he is, and Votto's around. I mean, you need a few veterans, but they got a couple of old guys around. Maybe they'll be the designated drivers for the young kids. I don't know. But you got a few old guys around there. How tough's the AL East, Ben? Is there a spot for the Jays? How's the AL East this year?
It's really tough. I mean, going into this thing, I really thought the Yankees were the best team. And, you know, now that Gerrit Cole's going to be missing realistically, it'll be more than 1 month. It'll probably be at least a couple months with Cole on the sidelines. Aaron Judge now, you know, his availability in question as he deals with an abdominal issue. So the Yankees aren't quite as formidable as I thought they would be. The Red Sox, they've dealt with an injury to Giolito. The Rays and Orioles have also dealt with some injuries. So, you know, it sort of evens the scales at a time that the Blue Jays don't know exactly what to expect from Kevin Gausman and are not in a position to count on anything from Alek Manoah. So, you know, that's still a huge question for the Jays. I think that the back of their rotation, you know, whether that's Bowden Francis and Mitch White or some other combination of arms, I mean, that is a huge question for the Jays. But I don't think anyone's way, way ahead of them. I still think the Yankees are the best team in this division because you have Judge and Soto. But the Jays can definitely compete for a wild card, if not for the division.
I hope so, anyway. I don't want to write them off in March. So I hope so. By the way, you had written something the other day about Ryan Chase becoming a knuckleballer and R.A. Dickey trying to help him out. Can you expand on that for me?
Yeah, the Jays have a couple of young minor leaguers. These guys, as you mentioned, Ryan Chassie and Jordan Powell, are trying to learn how to become knuckleballers. And it is a lost art. I think it's always on the verge of extinction, really. And there's no predominant knuckleballer the way there was when Tim Wakefield was pitching or the way there was when R.A. Dickey was pitching. But there is a push within the Blue Jays organization to give these guys some resources to see if they can really turn their careers around and maybe make it as knuckleballers. And so the Blue Jays actually brought R.A. Dickey down to spring training in Florida to see if R.A. would be willing to share some insight, which he was. And so they had a little session, a few days together in February, and they were able to work on that pitch. And I'll be really fascinated to see what happens with these young pitchers, because it's a really cool story, and you definitely don't see that every day.
Oh, it'd be neat to get them both on the roster at the same time. Is one, I don't know if this makes any difference to a knuckleballer, like if you're facing a lefty or a righty at the plate, But I believe one's a righty and one's a lefty when it comes to throwing the knuckleball. I don't know if that gives you any strategy at all. But I think I could bring in my lefty knuckleballer. I could bring my righty knuckleballer in if I wanted to. I don't know if that's a huge option or a thing. It's just a knuckleball. You can't hit it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the first challenge in talking to R.A. Dickey for this story, the first challenge is just throwing it for strikes. And so I think that's a lot easier said than done when you're talking about a pitch that's really got a mind of its own. But the Jays would love to be in that position someday if they ever had both these guys in the major leagues as knuckleballers. I mean, we're a long way from that right now. Yeah. They're probably going to start the season in Class A, but it's really cool to see. And to answer your question, I mean, we've seen both. Most of the knuckleballers in history have been right-handed, but the Jays actually did have a left-handed knuckleballer named Ryan Feuerbend. I actually covered that start, I want to say it was 2019 in Chicago against the White Sox. And I remember covering that game, which I think was shortened by rain. So you do end up with the occasional lefty knuckleballer, but more often than not, I mean, just as you have with traditional pitchers, more often than not, they're right-handed.
I've had one thrown to me by a AAA player in Vancouver before, and he went easy on me. And this thing was moving. Like, it was scary to catch. And he just lobbed it. It was scary to catch, so I can't imagine trying to hit it. Ben, thanks for doing this. I noticed on your Twitter account you only have 62,700 followers, I think. So hopefully we can help you with that.
I don't know if more followers are a good thing or a bad thing in this day and age.
No, that's true.
I appreciate it.
I know. Just don't read any of the comments. That's the key to Twitter, I find, is whatever. You can have 100 people with your comment. It's like, yeah, just ignore it. Don't even read it. So thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, pal.
You got it. My pleasure.
You know, worst things in the world to do than cover baseball, let me tell you, especially spring training. Back in the day, as they say, I did 8 or 9 years of Vancouver Canadiens AAA baseball. Best thing about that was we flew. We didn't bus. Like the single-A guys, they bus everywhere. That would not have been my thing. But we flew everywhere. It was great. But also, every year, somehow I convinced the radio station that was broadcasting the games that I really needed to be at spring training. Like, that was really going to make a difference to the broadcast during the regular season. And frankly, it made no difference whatsoever, except I had a nicer tan by the time we got to game one. But thankfully, they didn't know that. So, but, it, you know, I covered down there. I was sending stories back. But it was like mid-March, just right about now, just before the weather turned. And the first year was Sarasota, Florida. And so I get a free ticket to Sarasota, Florida, where I didn't really like it a lot there, but it's just too far away. But the weather was beautiful. And then the following years, I got down to Scottsdale, Arizona, for 6 or 7 years of spring training in March, just when you need to get away. And the back door, not to make you feel bad, folks, but free airfare, free room, per diem, daily wage, and I had to go out and watch baseball for 3 hours at Gene Autry Park in Mesa, Arizona. It was a tough gig. So Ben just got back from spring training, too, so he knows what you're talking about. You get out of Toronto and out of the weather, and all of a sudden, oh, man. What a gig, man. If you're looking for something to do in life and you're not quite sure what to do, become a baseball play-by-play broadcaster. Get yourself to spring training. Anyway, phone number. Give me a call if you like. 604-280-0650. You can lob some J's at me if you like. We were talking about the Canucks and Lindholm earlier. Randeep Janda from Sportsnet going to join us at the bottom of the hour or two to find out what shook down at practice today. But your thoughts on any topic is certainly welcome. We've had 4 phone calls today. That was pretty good in the first hour. And the over-under in Vegas, my over-under was 3. My sports book is much more, it's tougher than, is it tougher or easier than Elan's? Elan's 4.5, the over-under. So we're at 4. I guess I'm easier. I've paid already. I've paid out. But if you booked your ticket under Elan Sharks card, then you will know we need one more phone call. So anyway, but I appreciate your thoughts on any topic. You can also text us at the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. Dunbar Lumber, 3 stores to serve you in Ladner at Bridge Street, the Dunbar Lumber Express, soon to be a drive-through at Ladner Center, or in Arbutus at Flagship Station, the flagship store on Arbutus in Vancouver, online as well, dunbarlumber.com. As we come your way from the Kintec Studio, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. If you have sore feet, what are you waiting for? Hit Kid Tech. Also, Ben was on moments ago on our hotline, the Dispatch Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning hotline, too. You can get on that hotline as well. I was talking earlier about playoff matchups. Right now, you would it looked at the moment the Canucks are in a position to play Vegas in the first round if the playoffs started today. In all likelihood, it's Vegas, Los Angeles, or Nashville for the Canucks. That's if they finish first and or second in the Pacific Division, because Edmonton still has something to say about it. Top team in the West, which is the Canucks via points right now, plays wild card number two. The other divisional winner plays wild card number one. Right now, Nashville's wild card number one, Vegas number two, and Los Angeles is third in the Pacific, but tied with Vegas in points. So the Canucks right now would play Vegas. If Edmonton catches Vancouver, suddenly a possibility that I never would have thought possible. In Vegas, I wouldn't bet on it. I'd be betting on Vancouver to hang on to their 8-point lead despite the three games in hand on the Oilers and two still to play, I believe, against Edmonton. But you're kind of picking your poison in there. Los Angeles, Nashville, Vegas. Do I want to play any of those guys? How can I avoid it? And you pretty well can't right now. Earlier in the inbox, you want to talk playoff matches? If everything goes to plan, the Leafs over to the East. Nice move here. Unsigned, nice move. The Leafs would have to play the Panthers if the playoffs started today. The Bruins and the Rangers or Carolina, top three teams in the NHL. A tougher road in the league to make it to the final. Don't want to hear about the Canucks' road to the final. Yeah, I certainly haven't mentioned a road to the final for Vancouver. I'm trying to figure out the road that leads to round number one. And will there be a road leading in round number two? Tough matchups, regardless of who the Canucks play in the first round. If it's Canucks in, right now, I ask you the question, if it's Canucks in Vegas, who are you betting on? Don't bet with your heart, bet with your wallet. That's a tough one. And assume there's a healthy Demko. It's a tough pick, man. Same thing with Nashville. That's a tough pick. Although I'd go Vancouver over Nashville, but that's a tough pick. Nashville's good. And the LA Kings, I have a tough... Either one of those. I mean, trying to come through the first round. You could go beat your head against the wall all season long trying to be first in the Pacific, first in the West, thinking you get a better playoff matchup. But just like the East, there's a lot of good teams. Teams that miss the or teams that sneak into wild card spots, they're usually pretty good teams. How the Canucks, who are not built for a long physical grind, in my mind, for the playoffs, how they fare against teams who are built for a long physical grind, that's going to be your Sportsnet difference maker. Austin and Langley, Lindholm's defensive game has been worth the trade. Yeah, he's pretty well. Is he even on the? Oh, actually, he's minus five with the Canucks in his 19 games. But he is here on the third line in a defensive role right now. But that doesn't mean you still can't chip in with some points, like more than he has. Just quiet, too quiet. 4 goals and 3 assists in 19 games with the Canucks for 7 points. So 7 points in those games. And I'm going to look up Calgary here. I had this written down somewhere. Naturally, I can't find it now. Because how's Kuzmenko doing? What did I say? 4 and 3 assists for Lindholm in his games with Vancouver. Find out how Kuzmenko's been doing, too, because I think it's pretty even, albeit point-wise, albeit Kuzmenko in a totally different role with Calgary. He's getting the power play time. He's getting lots of ice time as well with Calgary. I think he's played 14 games with Calgary, 5 and 3 ring a bell. I'm almost there. See, this is what happens when you solo host and you're trying to surf for something. He played 14 games for Calgary. He's got 5 goals and 3 assists. He's a -5. So he's tied up with Lidholm. He's averaging, I thought it was higher than this, averaging 14 minutes of ice time. two power play goals, one power play assist. I thought he was getting more ice time than that, to be honest. But it's two different balls of wax, and Kuzmenko went in there and they said, we're not worried about, they knew what they're getting, we're not worried about your defensive abilities right now. We want you to key a power play for us, work on the power play for us, make it happen. And he's not lights out either. And that wasn't the, for Vancouver, it was, you know, here's some draft picks. Here's a first and a fourth. Here's two prospects. Take the $5.5 million off our payroll, and we get Lindholm, and we think he's going to help us. And in the playoffs, from a defensive standpoint, that's what Lindholm can do for you. He can help you in the defensive standpoint. That's where he may pay his dividends. He's not year after year been a, because I got somebody in the inbox too saying he's not a scorer. But, you know, he's had 27 goal seasons. He's a 29-year-old player. 27 with Calgary, 29 with Calgary, 19 in 56 games. And then a couple or 3 years ago, a 42-goal season with Calgary. That's the blip, the 42-goal, because last year in a full slate of games, he had 22 goals. He's sitting on 13 this year, four of them. Four of them with Vancouver. So he's not going to hit the 20 mark. And if you look again at trends, he's trending away from that one big blip on the radar screen, the 42-goal season. Yet again, he's not necessarily brought in as an offensive player, but I think the Canucks were expecting him to be one. This guy was a plus 61 in 21-22. That's like crazy. That's his 82-point season, but he was a plus 61. It's a plus 30 back in 2019. Other than his time in Carolina, he was never really a minus player. But, you know, I just want more out of him. In the inbox, Tkachuk carried Goodrow and Lindholm. That is, and Goodrow is in the mix too, but I know what you're saying. That factors in the equation too. Tkachuk and Goodrow were there when Lindholm had his explosive season. Thank you for reminding me about that. Goalie Dad 26 in Kitsilano. Anyone from Kitsilano will get you on. Definitely the Canucks need more NHL playoff experience bodies on the roster. That's hopefully what they get this year, by the way. Vegas will have the Canucks number. No easy opponents in the first round, though. Thank you, Richard. Maybe it's Brodeur. Richard Brodeur, Goalie Dad 26 in Kits. The Canucks do not have, especially the guys who've been here for a while, they don't have a lot of playoff experience. That counts. But it's going to be so interesting to see when the Canucks do get to the first round how teams, again, try to contain Hughes, Pettersson. There's going to be a lot of physical contact. There's going to be a lot of physical contact. These guys, if Pettersson and Hughes don't survive the physical contact, the Canucks don't have a chance of surviving round number one. That's not to say they get injured. It's just they get pounded and beat up in particular. And you don't see them get hit often. They're smart players. And Hughes, we talked about Hughes being able to stick handle past five guys at a phone booth. He can avoid body contact too, but you know, playoffs seem to be a different beast, don't they? Bottom of the hour, Randeep Janda to join us. Hit me in the inbox, 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. One last call for phone calls if you want to jump in, 604-280-0650. You can jump in on that as well. And we will continue to take care of business on the other side. Canuck Talk, Randeep Janda. I'm Brooke Ward. Thank you so much for your kindness in the inbox, too. Not a lot of hate mail today. What's the matter with you people? You're a bunch of dopes. There's not enough, not any hate mail in there, too. So anyway, thank you for your kindness. Stay with us. More to come in just a moment. Elan producing the program today. I'm Brooke. This is Sportsnet 650. Caffeine is kicking in now. Hey there, Brooke Ward with you. We're on Sportsnet 650. I'm trying to keep up with this song. Thank you for listening. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. Free stores to serve you. Online, dunbarlumber.com. I like that. I think you run that under the whole segment. Canuck Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery, Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Why wouldn't you? You can make it happen. Find them together online, DLEAMC.com. Randeep standing by quickly to the inbox, unsigned. Who the hell is on the air right now? I do not take that as a positive one. So that's something. Maybe it's a good one. I don't know. Who the hell's on the air right now? Maybe it's good. And another one's everyone will be gone. I mentioned earlier that, you know, in a couple of years, a lot of these players potentially walk. And then where are the Canucks then? I did say that you've got to have Wielander and Lekkarimäki come through and be players in a couple of years to make up for some of the guys who are going to be gone here, the UFAs and the trading of the draft picks. But someone didn't hear that part because they said that's such a bad take. Everyone will be gone because you've got Wielander, Lekkarimäki, and defenseman Pettersson Jr., Elias Jr., which is how they just should name it. There's senior and there's junior when they're both on the team. I did mention those guys, by the way, so you must have missed that. Anyway, hit me anytime, 650-650, the text inbox. Randeep Janda, the pride of Sportsnet, is with us now. Hello, Mr. J.
Brooke, how's it going? It's a beautiful day. I'm chilling in the Killarney area of Vancouver here, just taking in the nice weather after practice.
Attaboy. The Killarney area. Oh, the old stomping. I was David Thompson, so I was off in Southeast Vans stomping grounds.
Yeah, we were rivals maybe when you're in high school, but when you leave it, everybody's friends, right?
They say, although I've never liked you, but they have said. You were at practice today, right?
I was indeed, yeah.
What did you like at practice today?
Well, according to Rick Tocchet, he liked the practice from the guys, but, you know, the lines were in a blender today, Brooke, and it really comes down to how do you get Elias Pettersson going? 7 points in the last 13 games for, you know, a middle six player, you might be happy with that, but when you're a star player, when you're a guy that was expected to get 100 points, he was on pace to get 100 points a little bit earlier this year, and he hasn't been able to crank out those points, find that confidence in his game, really outside of that one goal he scored against the LA Kings when he cut inside to the middle of the ice. It's about getting him going. And Connor Garland and Nils Höglander on that line, he's had some good chemistry with Höglander. Garland, he's played with a little bit in the past as well. So a new-look line there. And then also Pew Suter going back with Miller and Besser. They've had a pretty good stretch there when they played together, even though the points might not be there in terms of possessing the puck and really leaning on teams. That line has done a good job this year. So it's all about essentially maybe finding a sense of urgency with this team. They've got some padding, but the offense has dried up a little bit. So how do you get that top six going as the focus at practice?
Well, one thing about Tocchet, right? He's not going to just sit back and wait. He's going to try and make stuff. Huh? One of the things, so I just want your thoughts on him in general, but it's one of the things I like about him is, A, he's also a great interview. When he talks, he actually says something. And but I just love his overall, the way he's handled himself in Vancouver.
Yeah, a couple of things on that front. And I agree with you. Rick Tocchet, you know, you've worked a lot of scrums over the years in terms of head coaches in the NHL. I've had my fair share over the last decade now as well. Coaches, when they want to lock it up, they won't give you anything. Rick Tocchet, when it comes to injuries, he's very much that way. But when it comes to breaking down what he wants to see from his team, the expectation, the strategy behind it, very open. And, you know, I think there's an element of post-game, sometimes there is some frustration when your team doesn't deliver. He's pretty open at times. But one of the things I think that's respected about Rick Tocchet, not only in Vancouver in that locker room, but across the league, is that what he says to the players is what he says to the media. There's no double speak going on. There's no messages sent through the media. It's a very clear communication. And with Rick Tocchet, having, you know, even as somebody who covers this team and calls the games alongside Brendan Batchelor, it's nice to hear an individual that you're able to get information from and say, hey, this is what I expect from my team. I expect them to play to their staples. I expect them to get to the middle of the ice. I expect, you know, better execution, because you know that's exactly what he's saying behind the closed doors as well. A very direct line of communication with the coach, and he's brought that essentially from day one.
He said the other day, I think it was prior to the game against the Capitals, he had said, we need to get to a different gear at this time of year. Not fourth gear, fifth gear. We need guys to get into fourth and fifth gear when you get to this point of the season. Again, I totally agree with him. The idea now, Randeep, is to get guys into fourth and fifth gear, because you're not winning if you don't, you know, get everything out of everybody and guys find another gear.
Yeah, you got to play better. You got to play faster. You got to play harder. And I think there's another element to this as well. And Coach talked about it a little bit today of embracing the uncomfortable. The playoffs is all about being uncomfortable. And some of those young players, the bubble playoffs, you know, for those players that were there, that was an outlier. It was a very weird couple of years. And that playoff run kind of summed that up, where the Canucks did have some success, but it really wasn't a normal playoff. There were no fans in the building. There was no, you know, it was a very strange experience. So even though they had success, there's some of the players broke. It's about how do you welcome that pressure? How do you not bend under that pressure? And one of the things that I look at this team is, like, sure, they have veteran players that have been there. Ian Cole's won cups. They've got, you know, JT Miller, who's had playoff experience. They've had other individuals in that lineup that have been cup, you know, either in a finals or played some playoff experience, but it's about embracing the toughness of it. Getting to the middle of the ice, I think, is most important for this team right now. And I go back to that Washington game where in the final 4 minutes of the game, when they're down 2-1, they had one shot on goal. And that's a problem, right? When you're trying to get back into a game, when you're looking for that urgency, you got to make sure you're finding a way through the middle of the ice, that you're getting rebounds. And a couple of areas that the coach focused on, A, you know, the guts of the ice. The other thing I would say is they're trying to pick corners right now when they've got shots, when they've got 2-on-1s. It's, are you playing for a rebound? Because more than 50% of the goals, more than, you know, 70% of the goals in the playoffs are greasy. They're ugly, ugly goals when you look at them, but they look beautiful on the score sheet because that means that you scored. So to me, a couple of things that this team needs to do, Brooke, is A, you know, just be, you know, be aggressive in the middle of the ice, have those middle drives, but also play for the rebound a little bit more. You got to get to that blue paint. That's how you win in the playoffs.
It's funny, isn't it, that at the start of the year, just like make the playoffs. That was all our goal, basically, as a Canuck fan. Just, okay, and are you good enough to make the playoffs? Are you going to be in the mix in mid-March? And it's funny how things change, huh? Because now here you are near the top of the league, and expectations change. And you find out how to get a few, speaking of a fifth gear, how to get into fifth gear when fourth gear would have got you just to the playoff. Things change. Would you agree with me?
Oh, for sure it does. And I was one of the individuals that said, hey, this is a playoff team to me. They can get in a wild card spot, and who knows what happens after that. But for a lot of folks, it might have been maybe you get a divisional spot, and that could be the ceiling. But this is the best team in the Western Conference right now. It's been one of the more consistent teams in the NHL this season. And when you have a moment like this, when you have a team that for the majority of the season has been really strong, really consistent, you try to maximize on that. Because as you know, winning teams, top of the conference teams don't come around in hockey very often. And unless you're lucky enough to have a run like some of these teams, like a Tampa Bay over the last number of years, it just doesn't happen. Or a Boston is another one in the Atlantic. So I think those goalposts had to move just based on the fact that this team showed they gave a management, the fan base, the city a reason to say, hey, if we play this way, we can be amongst the best in the league. So yeah, it has changed, but that's why the bar has also been raised now, where you're saying that consistency you showed in December and January, you got to get back to that. You got to get back to that style of play. And even more so, you know, in a 7-game series, you don't have that situation where it's 1 of 82, where, you know, you move from Washington to play Buffalo and Buffalo to play a Calgary or, you know, whoever you're playing. No, this is going to be a very different style of hockey where it's going to be like chess. A team makes adjustments on your game. You have to make them back. Otherwise the playoffs are a foregone, you know, a second round is a foregone conclusion. So I think the next little month or so of this team, it's going to be a really interesting time because, you know, Brooke, they've shown that they can be one of the best teams in the league, definitely in the Western Conference. But playoff hockey, as we know, is very different. You have to really tap into get more out of yourself, and also coaching as well. Coaching in the playoffs is so important. So this is kind of a time for this team to really refine what they're able to do, get back to do what, you know, they do best, but also refine some of those skills, refine some of those strategies so that they're ready to go next month.
Ran deep, buddy. Enjoy Southeast Vancouver, and we'll
always
talk to you. Yeah, why wouldn't you? Out there near Killarney and Champlain Mall and all that fun stuff. Fraser View Golf Course, not a bad place to be today. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Brooke. Take care.
Randeep Janda, Pride of Sportsnet. What a great guy, too, by the way. It's funny, you talk about the goalpost moving, and the Canucks have moved the goalposts themselves because they started the year just we can make the playoffs. If everything goes perfect, we can make the playoffs. That's how they started the year. And if that's where they were, just trying to make the playoffs, people would be happy with that, but also still talking about the fact that you need a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that to make sure you get into the playoffs. Who cares about the first round? Just get in. The Canucks themselves, they'll move the goalposts because they went out and got Zadorov. And they went out and got Lindholm. And they themselves have moved the goalpost. So the conversation changes. Because now they're now not a team, due to circumstance or luck or whatever, they're not a team that's just going to make the playoffs. They're now a team that thinks they have a shot at the cup. In fact, they don't get Lindholm if they don't go out and get him if they don't think they actually have a shot at winning the Stanley Cup. So yeah, things have changed. So there's been a lot of years, obviously, oh my goodness, of are we going to be 25th or 26th this year? How will we lose the draft lottery this year? This is not one of those years. So yes, things have changed for the Canucks. I don't find anybody that I know of coming down really, really hard on them, but you're at this level and now can you sustain it? And that is a story. How can you sustain it and how can you get into the playoffs and not only get into the playoffs, avoid going out in the first round? I should have asked Randeep and I forgot who he would rather play between Vegas, Nashville, and LA in the first round. Should have asked him that. It's my first time in a long time doing this though, so. So much for the perfect game. Just got it shot down. I have to go for the no-hitter. Marcus is on this topic with me, but Marcus from the Ridge. How can anyone come at the Canucks in a negative or critical manner? They've completely mic-dropped the season. Pettersson, you call him Petey. I don't want to do that, though. Pettersson, I don't know why. It just sounds, you know. Pettersson, a 100-point player, sound defensively, worth his contract all day long. Lindholm's a stud. This is Marcus from the Ridge. Sturdy, dependable, will get you 40 to 60 points at worst. I'm not seeing that right now. Poor man's Horvat. I don't see that. Anyway, the Canucks will make the final four. Marcus is very optimistic. Canucks will make the final four, and the first two series will be grueling. But Marcus expects the Canucks to win, whoever they're playing, to win the first two series. It's going to be tough to win a series, frankly, because of, as mentioned before, how grueling the playoffs are. So it's going to be tough to win a series. It's like it's never easy to win a series anyway. But getting to the dance is one thing, and not twisting an ankle while you are dancing is another thing. So I'm going to be very interested to see how the Canucks do in the playoffs in that first round, regardless of who they're playing. There's where we all are going to learn way more about the Canucks, the playoff Canucks compared to the regular season Canucks. And they're going to need a healthy Demko, too. He better be ready to go by then. It's funny, when he got hurt the other night, as that game was underway, I was jotting down some notes. Believe it or not, I take notes. Tough to believe. But I wrote down, man, got to keep Demko healthy. I wasn't thinking about the amount of games he's played or the workload, anything like that. Because after the fact, I know a lot of people came out and said, look at the workload. And they're not necessarily wrong. I was just thinking, you got to keep him healthy. And then 5 minutes later, he's leaving the game with an apparent knee injury. So you got to get him back and be healthy. Casey DeSmith, he's been good for Vancouver, but he's not going to carry you through a playoff series. I wouldn't think. The playoff Canucks are going to be a whole different thing. And I am looking at them questioning how effective they'll be in the playoffs against some grueling teams. And I'm expecting those grueling teams to take a lot out of the Canucks, but that's not to say Canucks can't beat them. But I'm like, wow, there's where you learn. If the Canucks come through unscathed through the playoffs, win a couple of rounds, now you know what the playoff Canucks look like. Anyway, Marcus, I appreciate you chiming in from Richmond as well, or from Maple Ridge, the Ridge. People are they being critical negative? I'm sure some are, but for the most part, you're just going, okay, now what do you have to do to get to that next level? Including, as mentioned, the head coach who said, I've got to get these guys to fourth and fifth gear. That's the head coach. So the head coach, while not being critical of his team, is telling you some guys are stuck in third gear and we're not on a hill. So even the coach is telling you, I need more out of some of these guys and got to get them into another gear. That's the head coach. Protecting Hughes and Petey in the inbox. You can't hit Hughes. We mentioned earlier, he's been hit, but he's a pretty smart player to avoid it. And if you want protection for Petey, see Joshua and Zadorov. I don't think either, A, I can see them standing up for their teammates, certainly, but it's not going to discourage anyone from hitting Pettersson, especially if the guy who comes after you is looking at an instigator and maybe a 10-minute misconduct in the playoffs when power plays are key. And if it's a clean hit, we shall see as things move along. Jeffro says, I know that voice. It's Brooke Ward. Thanks, buddy. My buddy Alfie. Alfie Lau. The world has ended and Brooke is still on the radio. Yeah, I can see that. And my pal in Seashell, Warren Shoup. Brookster. You may call me Brookster, by the way, people. Brookster, just heard you on the radio. Obviously, he's been drinking early over there. You sound good, brother. They don't wait for the last minute in Seashell. I've got a couple of texts from people, too, saying, are you live at the 5 today? Which is not a bad idea, because they can't hear the sound of the music or, you know, the strippers squeaking down the pole as they turn upside down. But the post-game show is, I've on this, I just can't let this go. The post-game show is sponsored by the number 5. And I just think it's, shouldn't you be live on location? Has that thought never came up? Because often, first of all, it sucks being live on location wherever you are because it's distracting. So you want, for me anyway, want to be in studio. But if you came out and say, hey, we are sponsored by the number 5, Canuck post game. It's a Saturday night. It's, you know, 10 o'clock. Okay. Live from the 5. You put me in the corner. That's fine. In the DJ booth would be nice. Keep me away from the shower. Can't get the equipment wet. You don't want that to happen. But otherwise, live from the 5. I'm still on this for the post game show. So far, no one's agreed with me. Brooke, can you and Dan team up to host a show? I assume Dan Russell is the Dan you're speaking of. I'm still in contact with Dan. He's not in the country right now. In fact, he left the country just before COVID, and he just stayed out. He just never came back. Jim in Vancouver, the Canucks would have been better off if they'd kept Horvat and traded Pettersson. Now, Horvat is, points-wise, Pettersson's obviously got more than Horvat. But Horvat is that playoff gamer. I'm not saying I'd make that deal, but Horvat is that playoff gamer. He is a guy. He and Miller were a really good 1-2 punch. He is a guy who would carry the team on the back. Pettersson for Horvat, if someone offered you the trade up, do you make it? No. However, there was a point just before Pettersson signed that I started to think, you know what? I think I got to look at trading him. Can I, 11.5 mil a year? He's a point getter, but is he a driver of my team? No, but he's a point getter. I was considering, what could you get in a trade? How much of his offense would you miss? And they would miss it, folks. But at the time, man, 11.5 million, maybe a 100-point guy, but where would I be better off spending that money elsewhere and making a trade? Anyway, it was the thought process. I'm looking for a read you just told me about, but I'm not sure, Elan. Which one do you want? Do you want? Okay, because I don't have it. We do come to you from the Kintec Studio, your favorite orthotics provider. They get thousands of 5-star reviews. If you have sore feet, I will ask you what you're waiting for. If you have sore feet. Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. You know that. A few moments remaining of the show. Kipper and Bourne coming up at the top of the hour. Leaf hater Steve says you need Lindholm and Pettersson on the same line so we can get them both going. Yeah, I'm not telling you that, Pettersson's playing with some players. Lindholm is not playing with offensive guys, but we'll see with the line changes that Randeep was talking about now how things work. JanPro is the leader in commercial cleaning. Keep your workplace safe through this flu season by trusting JanPro's EnviroShield Disinfection Service. Visit janpro.ca. It's your EnviroShield Disinfection Service. Usually, two-syllable words, it's enough for me. You get into three, it's a problem, especially reading it cold. I think you know that. Jim in Vancouver is an absolute moron who wants to kept Horvat over Pettersson. Horvat's almost 30. He's still got game, though. But, again, it's two different kind of players. Sometimes it's the mix you're looking for. And the Canucks have had an excellent regular season mix, but do they have the playoff mix? And I'm not saying trade Pettersson for Horvat. Let's take it another way. If you have a skill guy and you have a guy who is not all skill but has other physical attributes, that mix sometimes for your team is more successful than the skill guy. So sometimes you have to trade skill for some grit. And that makes a difference when it gets down to crunch time, which is what the Canucks are coming up to. We are at crunch time as well. I can't thank you enough for joining me today at Press Box. I was going to say Press Box has been nice for me till the last text we got. Oh, Brooke Ward. No E in my name, by the way. Oh, Brooke Ward, time to change the station. Well, it unsigned, that's fine. But your luck is about to change because Kipper and Bourne are coming up next. Now, you could text in, oh, Kipper and Bourne, time to change the station. But it took 2 hours to finally get into me and saying, it's time to change the station. So you don't have to. Don't touch that dial because we've got more coming up, and it's not Brooke Ward. You got to be happy about that. Elan produced the program today. I'm back tomorrow, though, so you may have to change your station at noon. I'm in for Dodd and Drantz, who took their whole show, Canuck Central and everything, took their whole show and just left for the week. And you're stuck with me and Sportsnet today. And we'll be stuck here tomorrow, too. Hope you'll make plans to join me. Thanks for all the kind thoughts and even the unkind thoughts in the inbox. At least you're thinking. I appreciate your input. You got it where you need to be, though. Kipper and Bourne, they're coming up next. This is Sportsnet 650.